Blog Talk Radio.
What kind of music? Kind of guy. Who kind of take off? Hey. Call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke. Nah, bitch, I spit dope. I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Fetching like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been new. You were hating on the low. I've been new. They were hating on the low. I've been new. He was hating on the low. I've been new. Hating on the low, I been new, I been strong. Niggas flaw, niggas fake, but it's straight, nothing to say. I'm busy getting that cake. How you my nigga when your true colors show that you fugazi? Paid attention, I seen it coming and witnessed it daily. Cold scratching, they messy, bitches be broken, be petty. Hate on the low and it show, cause they hate the way I get fed it. But I'm so up with my hustle, saying down, got me every penny. 19, have a penny, hurt me so bad, can't forget it. Oh, no, can't forget it. So I wake up and go get it, really from city to city, state to state, that where I'm going. Country to country, they know it's coming, they know I'ma blow. I'm worth a billion, put off some millions, I flip it for show. I took some losses, it cost me chances, I took for this spot. I put it all in the pot, fuck it, just look at me now. I'm worth a whole lot of K, I was broke, now I'm straight. I done grew up with my faith, so stay the fuck out my face. Lord, call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke, nah. Bitch, I spit dope. I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Fetching like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been new. You were hating on the low. I've been new. They were hating on the low. I've been new. He was hating on the low. I've been new. She was hating on the low.
I said one time for the one time, cause they hate now. Two times for the two times, cause they fake now. Three times for the three times, cause I'm straight now. Now I'ma get money every way and every day now. Put the nigga start hating. Fuck nigga, why you flagging? You can tell I'm straight, you ain't need much, gotta ask me. I done came home, ran it up, now I'm on go. Jealousy and envy, got no boy hating on the low. But I been new, that they were hating on the low. I see through all that fake light window, but I'm D'd up from the feet up. I need pesos. I re-up with that re-up from the same dope. My feet up, got my teeth up, and you still broke. My feet up, got that teeth up, but you still broke. You still broke, fuck nigga. You nigga know what it is, nigga. We getting real money over here, nigga. This Canada gang, nigga, I'm fresh out.
What? Call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke, nah. Bitch, I spit dope. I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Fetching like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been new. You were hating on the low. I've been new. They were hating on the low. I've been new. He was hating on the low. I've been new. She was hating on the low.
Hey. What's happening, world? Welcome back to a brand new episode of Real Adult Talk with SG and Mo Benz. What it do, Mo?
Welcome, people, to another edition of Real Adult Talk with SG and Mo Benz. So as always, we ready to get it in. It's another Sunday fun day. So, you know, I ain't even got to say it. You already know. Pour something up, light something up, smoke something up, roll something up, drink something up, come kick it with your people.
First shizzle. Shout out to our top five countries tuning in no particular order. It's the same. Shout out to South Africa. We love y'all. Still showing out. Shout out to Italy. United States, two more. What's the other two that be on there?
Finland and Brazil. Those two.
Finland and Brazil. Yeah, shout out to everybody. And everybody else all over the world. Tell a friend and another friend to tune in. Man, we got you. You know what? the more I listen to our intro song, the more I'd be like, this was.
Yeah, like, it go. Like, at first I was thinking, like, should we update it? But nah, it's a part of the show. Definitely.
Yeah, we done had that right. song on there for about, man, when we put that song on there, man, 2017?
Yeah, well, for me, yeah. That's all I remember.
Yeah, it's been on there for a while, man.
Exactly.
We just leaving it all the same. But, man, salute to everybody. Thank you very much for tuning in to another episode. The first episode for the month of June. Happy summer. Happy New Year. Happy all of those good things, man. How was your week this week, Mo?
Great. You know, I'm calling this week Organized and Strike. So, yeah, that's the vibes, just organizing and striking towards goals. Shout out to my wife. You know, we were doing some summer cleaning, organizing, you know, getting rid of stuff that don't serve us anymore and just making room for goals to be accomplished. Yeah, so, you know, I'm just blessed, you know, just blessed. I'm just in a good space right now, and I just want to keep up just good energy and the momentum. So, you know, my week was great. You know, I can't complain at all. My mom used to always say, too, and I agree with it. She said, you know, I'm like, I can't complain. She's like, yeah, who listens anyway? Who listens to complaining? You know what I'm saying? Figure out. Find a solution. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's my week. How was your week?
Man, my week is called accountability. You know, I catch myself, like, in the moment, speaking in the moment, like, speaking what I would, like, how I would normally speak, you know, like, the unhealed version or the person that's not speaking of enlightenment, you know what I'm saying? And I just say what I feel like is the right thing to say, but, you know, like, I'm paying attention to my words, and I'm like, all week I've been taking accountability, not just in my, you know, not just in my home, just outside of it, whatever. I'm taking accountability for my words, right? And so they say when you're learning a new language, man, you start with one word at a time, and then you just keep on till you can add more and more words, you know what I'm saying, to your vocabulary, right? And so when you are, you know, breaking a habit, right, it's one day at a time. So I feel like it's one thought at a time for me. Like, even if I say it, to make sure that I double back and take accountability for what I said and correct it, you know. So this is like, you know, course correction, accountability type of week for me, man. And I'm actually enjoying this course correction and working on continuing, you know, my journey with enlightenment and guiding myself, right? Because I can't enlighten anybody else without enlightening myself, right? So, you know, we're forever a work in progress, right? Our mission is never done. We never know everything. You know, we may have one subject that we hone in and we're the best. You know, we can be the best or a subject, a master of the subject, but we won't know everything. So, course correction and accountability type of week for me. Everything else is falling in order. These kids eat me out of a house and home. So I'm just like, I'm here.
Right.
Summer here,
yeah,
and they here.
Yeah. So they want their popsicles on deck, you know what I'm saying? All that summer stuff, right? Popsicles.
Man,
on deck.
They run through ice cream.
Yeah, man. They like, it tastes good, plus it cool me down. That's a win-win.
2 days. That's 2 days. It's out of here. It's so hot here. It's like hot as heck in the day. Then it's warm. You know, it's like cooler at night. Like today we got some rain. Not a whole lot, but we got some rain today. And so tomorrow is going to be scorching hot. So I don't know what's up with this weather. And they don't even care that it's scorching hot. They just be like, I want to go outside. I'm like, it's 9 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Like, no.
They're ready to get to it. That's how you know.
You
boys
know
will be boys. I remember those days.
But,
way back in the day, but I remember it.
But it's helping me because by the time they get in the house, they are so much more mellow. They ready to go to sleep, you know, go take a shower. They're going to go to bed.
Yeah.
Like, it's so much easier letting them go outside. So that's where we at with that.
Sure.
For sure. So I did talk to Smooth, you know, chopped it up, sent her a text message. He's definitely been, like, indirectly pushing me to start back updating on the Knowledge Channel, the Blackout Show, sending me, you know, very helpful articles and things like that. So I have started back on updating on the Blackout Show. The link is in the description of this video that you're watching, or if you're on social media, if you're on my YouTube, you'll see it there. I'm going to keep those topics coming and burning because I love it. I love the energy. I think I had put up like 6 or 7 videos, or five to six videos. I'm going to just keep adding to that. Shout out to Smooth. He is still in school doing his thing. I can't wait to see what his end goal is, what he's working on. That'll be exciting, man. I love when we grow and we're always a work in progress.
Yeah,
so,
that's good.
Tonight's topic.
This is the spirit. You know, set it up though. Hold on. It's your, you know, the first week of each month. You know, we got the spiritual.
All right, so this
God
is the first,
coming
the first
through.
Show.
Yes.
The first show of the month, man. Your conversation with spiritual goddess tonight. A spiritual conversation, thinking about things and talking about things from a spiritual standpoint, right? If you are new to the show, on the first Sunday of every single month, we have a spiritual conversation, looking at things from a spiritual aspect. And the last Sunday of the month is the world famous top up, where Mo Ben hosts the world famous top up, where he gets into all of the topics throughout the month that he was interested in, money, sports, whatever, right?
Sports,
and it's a lot,
sex, all that shit,
all
music,
of that, giving you
that.
His perspective, and it's always a good time. So let's get into it, man. Tonight's conversation, does your spiritual, i.e. religious, choice affect your relationship views? Whoo, I was thinking about some crazy stuff when I came up with this topic. Does your spiritual or religious choice affect your relationship views? So, Mo, you touched on something, was it last week or the week before last? One of those two topics, one of those two shows, you were saying about how you was dating this Muslim woman. And so, of course, you know, as you are, you're big into research, and you're always studying, and you're always reading. So you tapped into, you know, Islam for a while. It was like, for a second, it was like, yeah, that's not for me. And so you was like, yeah, it didn't work out with that girl. But does your spiritual or religious affect your relationships?
It did, but that was years ago. I'm talking about mid-90s, you know what I'm saying? I'm going way back on them, you know what I'm saying? Showing my wiseness, you know what I'm saying? I've been on this earth for quite some time now, so I've seen some things, experienced some things. So then, yes, it did, you know, and it was kind of weird because I was still young, you know what I'm saying? So I was still learning myself, and, you know, and just figuring out what this world was about, you know, just understanding my family dynamic and, you know, where we come from and where do I fit in this world and, you know, where I live at and my surroundings, you know. So I was a teenager, you know what I'm saying? So I was, getting ready, you know, becoming a man, you know what I'm saying? So, but I'm glad I experienced that. So, you know, for me being able to, because like I said, you know, for the people that's new to the show, I born, you know, Baptist Christian, you know what I'm saying? That's both of my grandparents, who both sets of my grandparents. I'm talking about my mother's parents and my father's parents both come from Georgia. You know what I'm saying? So, on my father's side, they ATL, you know what I'm saying? They ATL, you know what I'm saying? Used to hang out with Martin Luther King Jr. when they was kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, I thought it was cat at the time, but, you know, everything aligned, you know, as I got older. I'm like, wow, I thought they were just capping. So that was one side. And then the other side is from Columbus, Georgia. You know what I'm saying? So I'm Georgia, you know, to the fullest. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, you know, I have my Christian roots. And, you know, black, you know, from me, just I still tap into that because you know, that's what my ancestors, you know, because all of my grandparents have transitioned. So they instilled that in me. So I can never just let that go because I feel like everything happens for a reason. So they instilled that in me for a reason, you know. And we always go back and forth on the origins of Christianity and the trichnology of it. We know that, you know, especially, you know, this is a spiritual show. So we understand that it's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of trichnology, but it's a lot of parables too. So that I just kind of look at the parables, you know what I'm saying? So that's just to give you the foundation of you know, where I come from. Then, you know, as you just alluded to, you know, in my sign, I remember I was looking at something back in the day when I really started to get into astrology. And for me being a 1978 August 8th Leo, right, it said the forever student or something student. So, you know, the way you kind of describe me is perfect because I'm always learning. You know what I'm saying? I'm always a student of life. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So with that being said, it all made sense. You know, so, you know, while I'm in high school, and, you know, I went to Cleveland Heights High School. Shout out to Cleveland Heights. You know, I'm a hybrid. I got my down the way. That's my East Cleveland roots. You know what I'm saying? So that's, you know what I'm saying? That's the realness right there. You know what I'm saying? You shout out to East Cleveland. You know what I'm saying? I'm so happy that I was born and bred there. But then, you know, I got a lot of my swag from Cleveland Heights, you know, the suburbs. So like I said, I got both. You know what I'm saying? So I know the street and I know, you know, the corporate and all that type of stuff. So like I'm a nice mixture, right? So what that indicates,
thug,
right?
A gentle thug.
Yeah, the savvy gentleman. You know what I'm saying? That's where that comes on. It's like, you know, it's a little bit of both. Right? So with that being the case, right? So in Cleveland Heights, you know, it was very cultural. You know what I'm saying? We had a Jewish neighborhood, you know what I'm saying? But then you had whites, blacks, and, you know, a lot of the black people in my high school, you know, they were Muslim, you know what I'm saying? So, and I'm talking about like the Philly, so now it's a difference. So let me educate the people out there. So of course you got the Nation of Islam type of Muslim. That's, you know, Malcolm X, you know what I'm saying? And then he transitioned, and, you know, once he transitioned to like Sunni Muslim or whatever, and came back preaching some different things, that's where it kind of went left for him. You know what I'm saying? As far as his outlook, because he wasn't so, you know, I guess one-sided. I don't know if that's the right word to say, but, you know, kind of this tunnel vision. That's the Nation of Islam, right? So it takes black, you know, a lot of just black values. They took a lot of the Arab culture and they just made it black, and it was just good for black folks in America because it gave us something different from Christianity. You know what I'm saying? And there was totally nothing white about it. Nothing Western culture. It's an Arab thing. It's Arab, you know, and the shout out to the Moors and all that. But that's neither here nor there, right? So the type of Muslims that's from Cleveland Heights are Sunni Muslims. You know what I'm saying? You had a couple Shiites. You know, I'm really getting into the whole Islam. I'm really breaking it down. Shiites is the more spiritual type of Muslim. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to the Shiites. That's probably who I related to most. You know what I'm saying? So, and it all comes full circle because they had a more spiritualness to them. The Shiite Muslims, I used to really hang out, and we used to kind of connect on a whole different level because they saw a lot of times they saw a bigger picture from my perspective at that time. You know what I'm saying? But the Sunni Muslims, they're straight up, you know, it could get radical in a way. And like I said, no disrespect, but it can get a little, you know what I'm saying? And these are black Muslims, so this is like the Philly Muslims, you know what I'm saying? Beard, you know what I'm saying? Like, chew sticks in the mouth, and you know what I'm saying? Like, really crew, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, long story short, so I got into that, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, the person I was dealing with at the time, you know, it kind of influenced my thinking, you know what I'm saying? Because I was really trying to really, they call it being your deen, you know what I'm saying? Which is just practicing the Islamic way, which is very strict. So, like I said, it flowed with me for a while, but I can never relate to it because when it came to the prayers in Arabic, and I would go to the mosque, go to Juma, which is, you know, the religious day of worship, which is on Fridays, you know, for Muslims. So anyway, I really got into that whole for a year. You know, I even fasted, you know, I did Ramadan. So it was an interesting experience. So that really taught me a lot So even when 9/11 hit and all that other stuff, I could kind of just dissect all of that. You know what I'm saying? Because I've seen it. But anyway, to answer the question, so at that time, yeah, I did think it affected my relationships because I was, you know, especially if I was dating this particular person, I was really trying to be that, you know what I'm saying, to kind of, you know, make it, because, you know, I'm reading the Quran and I'm just really trying to follow the laws of the religion. But the more and more I did,
right,
the more and more I saw it wasn't me. And then I just kind of,
right,
I just went left, you know what I'm saying? Like, and, you know, they just hit the fan and I was just like, I'm done with this, you know what I'm saying? So, and then thank God, or thank the universe, that, you know, I found my spirituality. I always talk about this. I'm walking down Harlem and I saw the book that changed my life, which is Egyptian Yoga. And, you know, ever since then, you know, that just totally put everything into perspective. So now, you know, I see everything now. So now everything makes sense. The science, life, the duality of man, woman, the spirituality, the just being one with the universe and just in sync with everything, studying animals, you know what I'm saying? It all makes sense. So now, you know, I get it. You know, like my love for black women, I mean, you know, hashtag happily married man, but I know what I am now. You know, I have knowledge of self. So now it's all good. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm chilling. So now it definitely doesn't affect my relationship views. I mean, I'm married, but I see life for what it is. So, you know, that was a long answer.
Oh, is your wife
answer,
spiritual or religious?
My wife is so shout out to my wife. You know, my wife is, she's Christian. You know what I'm saying? So that's where me and my
okay.
wife, we still, you know, but we're both, you know, because I, all right, so this is how it was for me, and then I'll explain how it was for my wife, because it's very kind of similar. So my grandparents, well, all right, I'll say this. On my mother's side, so my mother's mother, rest in peace to my grandma, you know what I'm saying? She, you know, she was Jehovah's Witness when she first moved from Georgia to Cleveland. So my mother and her brothers and sisters came up as Jehovah's Witness. And then once my grandmother converted over to, you know, Baptist Christian, that opened up a whole thing. Like, Christmas became a big thing for my family on that side. Like, our Christmases was always off the hook, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was just family gatherings and all that, right? So that's that. But my grandfather, right, and I didn't really know him too much. My mother's husband, which is my other grandfather that was from Columbus, Georgia, right? He was like more of a player, you know what I'm saying? We used to call him Sluggy. You know what I'm saying? That was Grandpa Sluggy or whatever. You know, he played football back in the day. He just, you know, he stepped out of my grandmother with the person that used to do my grandmother's hair. He was a whole so he was not religious. So, you know, once they stopped dealing with each other before I was even, you know, thought of. So so then she just got really, you know, religious. But she never really pushed it on us, but it just gave us good values. Like Easter Sunday, she always made sure I had a new suit. And, you know, and my grandmother is the type, when she go to church, she had her hats. And, you know what I'm saying? She came in just like,
right,
you know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right.
Like, so that's that. So I always, you know, shout out to her. She, you know, I get so much strength from her because, you know what I'm saying, as a single mother raising seven kids, you know, she bought this nice house in Cleveland Heights, which is a suburb, and at that time it was all white. So, you know, and she was the first, you know, this first person up there of color in this neighborhood. And then, you know, all of our family kind of came up through that house. So that's that, right? And then my father's parents, that's from Atlanta, like I said, they used to know Martin Luther King Jr. when they was young. So by the time they moved to Cleveland, they just always had the Baptist Christian, you know, background. So they always was just going to church every Sunday, my grandfather included. You know, once he got to a certain age, like, I never remember him drinking or smoking or anything like that. So anyway, so that's that. But then my parents, like, my father wasn't religious. I mean, every so often he might catch a, I don't know what you call it, like, try to be a born-again Christian, but it never lasted, you know what I'm saying? And my mother, like, she never stressed church or nothing like that, you know what I'm saying? She would just make me, if I went with, like, my grandparents for Easter or something like that, but she never, she was the type that only would go to church on Easter, know what I'm saying? So she wasn't very religious, even though she has that in her background. And then like my father. So I guess to get to my wife, right? So my wife's, her peoples came from Tennessee and Alabama. So she a mixture of that, right? And I ain't going to go into her grandparents and all that, but her just because I'm going by what I know. Her father wasn't really religious, you know what I'm saying? But her mother is. And her mother still to this day, my grandparents are gone, you know what I'm saying? So I don't get that Christian influence like I used to. Like my wife's mother kind of took that role. So I always, you know, conversate with her because she's a practicing Christian. You know, she goes to church and when my wife goes back to Cleveland, she goes to church. But my wife, you know, she gets it. She knows it's like technology and all that, but that's how she was raised. So she kind of more on that. Spirituality, that's more my thing. You know, my wife would be more religious, you know what I'm saying? So, but we vibe because I know where she comes from. You know what I'm saying? So, she got Christian values. I got Christian values to a certain extent, but I'm spiritual, you know, so that's me. So, you know, so how would you say, you know, so I just gave you the whole, I guess, dissected my whole, you know, way I came up as far as religion and how I got to my spirituality. You know, what you
well,
got
to you,
because
you talkative tonight. So shout
out
to both.
Yeah, I'm on one tonight.
Yeah. So a couple of things. One, let's go back to the whole conversation that you had about Muslims being Arab first. Again, I told you to check out Before the Mayweather. It's so many volumes, you're not going to be able to get through it in one day. But check out Before the Mayweather. There's different types of Muslims, as you said, right? But it was black Muslims before they were Arab Muslims. The Arabs picked up their own version of being Muslim. It's like Ifa, right? So you have the traditional Ifa, which is Isheshe, and then you have Lukumi, right? Lukumi Santera, which is what the Cubans picked up, but they picked that up after, you know, they enslaved Africans, right? So they picked up the tradition of Ifa and gave it a different name, but, you know, similar practices, but it's not traditional, right? So it was black Muslims first for the people that went against Christianity. And this is why when you know, we talked about this, when you look at the prison system here, you know, the main religion that's practiced in the prison system is Islam, right? Because, you know,
I have a philosophy on that.
It's always been
I'll
that
touch
deep.
On that.
You know what I'm saying? It's always been that deep, right? So that's that. That's the one thing. But, okay, so does your spirituality or religious choice affect your relationship? Yes and no, okay? So I'm going to give it to you in two different ways, right, which is, you know, how I see it. And people see this in a different light. So I'm going to tell you what I've ran into out there, right? So on a standpoint from a man, the only one that I've seen to just, like, I've seen people in Ifa, like, look, if they're not a devotee of Ifa, I'm not dealing with them, right? Your background loud. Or Islam, a Muslim, right? I dated a Muslim before. But when I dated this Muslim, I was already on Ifa. I was already a devotee of Ifa. So I was no change in my mind. And I think that he dated me to see if he could have that leeway. And when he realized that he couldn't have that leeway, he like, all you do is talk about Ifa. Like, that's too much. Like, we ain't going to work, right? And I told this story, like, you know, like I can't date someone in Islam because, you know, even though there are a lot of people that, you know, that practice Ifa and yet still they're Muslim, they're Christian, whatever the case may be, I'm not one willing to, you know, step into either one of those realms unless I'm told something comes down and says, okay, well, you need to align. Now, that's just me, right? So I told you there was this guy. When I first moved back here and I met this guy after, you know, I had broke up with my person. And this guy was cool, very successful, you know what I'm saying, to this day, you know, and I never freaking knew that he was a pastor. I never knew he was a pastor. He never talked about it. He never told me nothing about it. But he knew that I was not Christian. You know what I'm saying? He knew I grew up Christian, but he knew that I at that point I was in my, you know, like beginning phases of, you know, spirituality and things like that, right? And so even after he has watched me grow, you know, into Ifa, right, still never ever said nothing, right? And so whenever Spirit wants me to find out something, Spirit will say, you know, go look or go search this person and whatever. So I happened one night, Spirit was like, just go look this person up, yada, yada. And I went and looked this man up, and he's older than me, might I add, but he looks damn good for his age. He's an older guy, and I went and looked up, and I seen a video of a couple years ago of him preaching at this church in Alabama. And I was like, now, wait a minute. Like, I looked him up because at the time, you know, I was single, and he was like, look, you know, give me another chance. Let's see how this works, yada, yada. And I'm talking about this man was a freak. You understand me? I'm talking about putting the F in the K. You understand me? Right? In freak. You know what I'm saying? So I looked him up, and I seen it, and I was taken back by it. And I'm like, well, so I said, you a pastor? And he was like, well, yeah. And you're well to come along with that. I'm like, okay, so you know, I'm a devotee to Ifi, right? You know, I can't. You know, how you think that's going to line? You can't take me with you. I can't be your first lady because, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's just not even going to happen. That's, you know. And so he never had, he was like, man, we'll worry about that when we get there. You know, I'm not worried about that. But I think a lot of men will try to convert the woman because they feel like once the woman is in love enough, you know, she's going to go the way of the man. And generally, that's how that happens, right? But I'm very strong-willed, so I'm not going the way of no man, and I know my person has to be an E5. So my person has to be an E5. I'm not dealing with that. When it comes to me, yes, because I'm a devotee to E5, and my person has to be aligned with E5 as well, right? So I'm not going to deal in that manner. Now, I can recall I grew up Christian as well. Mind you, my mom's side, devote Baptist Christian. You understand me? You know, in church multiple times during the week, right? And this is how we were raised, and I get that, right? I get that this is how we were raised, but on my dad's side, now my grandfather went to church, but my grandmother, she would, and then she kind of stopped going to church, right? Which was the same when it came to my mom. My mom was going, then she stopped going to church, but she raised us in church. She raised us this way. But as she got older, she pulled back and stopped going to church. Never once did they say why. They just did, right? And so I'm paying attention to all of these things, right? And knowing that I come from, you know, my great-grandfather, you know, came in, you know, from, you know, a foreign land, you know, to this country. And with knowing that, right, I never knew that we were different, you know, until maybe like the fifth or sixth grade, you know what I'm saying? And we started really, like, hanging out with kids in the neighborhood, and they was like, yeah, that's different, or that's this, or that's that. You know what I'm saying? And we never knew, and they still didn't tell our ass. So it was just big thing, even from people knowing that we were African. Like, that was nothing that they, you know, that was nothing that we talked about. It was nothing talked about of, like, how, you know, we were raised to be the divine feminine, how we was raised to cook and clean and be at home and da 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 da. None of these things were talked about, even as much as us being raised to stay older to be kept, you know. And so following that, I'm paying attention, and when I started doing my own research, I realized that these things were taboo. You couldn't talk about this because you would lose your life. You can lose a lot of things back then. So, again, that's why people had to continue to keep up the tradition of Christianity. And then they got into it and got embodied in it. But, you know, the people in the Bible, they're just Orishas. You know what I'm saying? They took the Orishas and flipped it to the people in the Bible, and then, boom, there you go. So, you know, history repeats itself. As you say, Malcolm X, you know, he stepped away from the
Nation of Islam,
and then he started studying something else. I do love listening to Louis Farrakhan, right? The old one, right? The old portion of Louis Farrakhan. But even like history repeats itself. Even in his teaching, he started to talk about Jesus more. Jesus, 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 a whole lot more, right? And deviated, and then that's where more people started saying, well, I don't know what he's talking about and what he on. You know what I'm saying? Like, then so the same thing started happening to him. You know, Minister Farrakhan is in his 90s now. You know what I'm saying? So all of the things that you see that are being pushed online are really old, really, really, really old footages, really old things. And when they banned Minister Farrakhan from Facebook, right, because he had the ability to control the masses, which was a government plot, I realized, okay, I know that I'm going in the right direction, right? So I'm going to stay true to what it is. With all due respect, I respect whoever, whatever your religious belief is, but I will not allow that to be in my home to say I'm this way and then my person is another way. Then you're going to look at me crazy because I got a whole shrine room, a whole room that's dedicated to, you know, spirituality. You're going to look at me crazy when, you know, you start to see certain things in my house. You walking through my door and you see, you know, a bat head or something. You're going to look at me crazy about these things because you don't know, and you're not going to be comfortable because I'm so far in that you're just not going to be comfortable. Like, I've seen it. You're not going to be comfortable with me. And so when it comes down to, you know, the ultimate reason of why I left my last long-term situation is because we just was not equally aligned, right? And ultimately, whereas I thought that he was coming along to step deeper into his spirituality, he ultimately wanted to, he wasn't aligned. So with all of those years and all of that time, I had to make a wise decision. You know what I'm saying? Oh, he's a great guy. You know what I'm saying? Everybody has their flaws, but it just wasn't aligned for me. Now, to say that, to say, could I date someone that's Muslim? If he, too, was also a devotee of Ifa, I could. And he has to take Ifa serious. I mean, if I was single, you know what I'm saying? If I was not married, then, you know, we're speaking of that. But he would have to take Ifa serious, right? He would have to be, you know, Ifa would have to be, you know, present, you know what I'm saying? He would have to be able to lead me that way. In this energy and in this moment and in this where I am, you know, unless he's a man of Ifa, he cannot lead me, you know? That's the only type of person that I know that when I see them, they're aligned, that I'm going to say, you have the ranks, you can lead me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can do what you're doing because you're aligned. Now, being said that, right? It could be the opposite, because you have some females that are in Ifa, but because the rules are what they are, you know what I'm saying? You know, men can have multiple wives and this, is that, and the other. They're either going to try to change the man and make him not want multiple wives, or they're going to date a man outside of Ifa. Because of the fact that a man in Ifa, especially like a Bawrao or something like that, he can have multiple wives. You have women that try to do the opposite, just for that one reason, because they don't want to share the person that they're with, right? Especially when you are an American woman and you are taught to be mono. You know what I'm saying? And so you're taught to be mono, and then you're going into something. It's like you believe the words of Ifa. You've seen what Orumala can do for you. You've seen Orumala can change your destiny. You know, you believe in Olo Dumar, but when they go to talking about sharing the person you're with, you're like, I draw the line right there. I hear you, but we're going to stop right there, all right? So let me go take the back one. You know, it's like, you know, even people of Islam, you know, even all of the men, like you're talking about the silly men with the big beards and so on and so forth, you got people that's going to commit every crime in the world, But when it comes down to pork, they will not eat pork. That's one line that they will not cross. You understand me? I don't care what you talking about, pushing keys, you know, doing whatever. You got to go hit a lick. They will do it, right, if they are good Muslims. But when it comes down to that pork, you put that pork on their plate, they draw the line there. Every strong Muslim I've ever seen is spitting the same way. Like, nah, ain't going to do no pork, baby.
That's true.
So,
and I always love pepperoni on my pizza.
You so stupid. So it's like you are, you know, you're in a very strict, you know, environment. You know what I'm saying? Like, are you devoted to what it is that you're doing? And I feel like if you are devoted to whatever it is that you believe in, yes, your beliefs will affect your relationship views. Because if you are devoted, there's always a certain type of person to look at. But when it comes like to males, especially like, and it's the preachers. That's not the only preacher that came at me, even though when I was dealing with him. And I think I dealt with this man for like maybe 8 months to a year. And this was like, you know, back in the day. I didn't know he was a preacher. He never, ever, ever said nothing. I'm talking about old nasty preacher. I said, you're going to be talking that shit, don't him. And he's like, man, you crazy. You got to be. You
be the preachers.
You doing all of these things.
It'd be the preachers and it'd be the preacher's daughters. You know what I'm saying?
I'm trying to tell you. I say, man, they anointed your tongue, brother. But it's kind of like, it blew me back. You know what I'm saying? Because if this is somebody, Islam, you know, like, you in a strict religion, I hold you guys to a certain standard, you know what I'm saying, because of that. Now, I've lived my life, you know what I'm saying, I've lived my life and then found my way, and so even with that, you know, I can divert, I can't, but if I was in the energy to divert back to my life that I once was living, you know what I'm saying? It's like a person would look at me like you crazy, like, man, you done did all this for all these shit, and, you know, here come Miss Black. You know what I'm saying? Like, a person would look at me crazy. So I really look at men differently because you are designated. I don't care what religion, what spirituality, you are designated to be the leader, the provider, the protector, the all of those things. You know what I'm saying? And so if he is not aligned in his personal life, you know, he's not aligned spiritually or religious, you know, in his religion. So that's kind of like very weird for me. I just feel like it's weird because even sitting down trying to have a conversation with a Christian, and I've tried to, like, date somebody Christian, but they said they wasn't Christian. They more spiritual, and then kind of found out they was really Christian, and then their whole family was Christian, and then they was looking at me like I was crazy, and I'm like, well, I'd be the crazy one because, baby, I ain't coming on that side. I see what's there. I don't want it, you know. And you know, to each his own, do what you do. That's just not for me, you know, as I say. Like, whatever you believe in, I want everybody to know, like, I'm not here to talk about what anybody else believes in and down you. And at the beginning, before I really got into it, I used to be that way, like, man, how do y'all not know, or how do y'all still following this? But let me tell you something.
You know
I'm touching on my ancestors, my Egungun, right? And when I'm connecting to them, or when there are certain ones that are around me, you try to let me know that they're around me, they urge me to turn on gospel music for them. When I'm tending to my altars, I turn on gospel music for them, right, to call them in through that portal. Any altar you have is a portal. So to call them through that portal, I turn on gospel music. So I'm not like, oh, I'm not going to listen to gospel music. I'm not going to do I'm not that type of person. I just don't follow the teachings of that. So that's my view.
Yeah, no, that's deep. So, you know, once again, tonight, spiritual conversations. Does your spiritual religious choice affect your relationship views? I think you touched on a lot of interesting points. So I guess just to kind of, I guess, bring closure to this or whatever, my final thoughts was, so I wouldn't take, you know, I have no regret. So I don't live my life in regret. Mm-hmm. So everything that I did was a learning lesson. You know what I'm saying? So I'm very grateful for all the lessons I was taught, be it good, bad, or whatever, because it made me who I am.
Gotcha.
Now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So looking back, though, you know, now I don't think I could ever really get into a serious relationship with a Muslim female, because I know I'm spiritual at the end of the day. And even if, and I'll kind of spin back around, but I know I'm spiritual at the end of the day, and that I know I still have my Christian kind of just imprint from my ancestors, you know what I'm saying? So from my, you know, grandparents. So I already know that's my DNA, you know what I'm saying? And then I have some savageness in me, you know what I'm saying? Because that's the little Euro part, you know what I'm saying, in me as well. So because I know, especially a female that's on her dean, if that's her calling, you know what I'm saying, and I've seen this now, you know what I'm saying, like even because it's a couple of Muslim, you know, females that I dated, you know, one.
Let me say this disclosure real quick because it's hit me, and I know people are listening like, that's other religions other than Christianity and Islam. Well, the reason we're touching on those two, because those are the two biggest ones here in the U.S., right? You know, there
correct,
are people that, well, and Christianity, so. Islam, and Ifa, you know, and Ifa has been, you know, has grown so much over the time. Ifa, Lukumi, right? But you know, those are the ones that are compatible because that's the most practiced situations that are here. Like, I know we have a lot of UK listeners and you guys, you know, you have
Brazil,
you
know, Catholics,
Catholics and so on and so forth. And so, you know, Catholicism is decent here, but it's mainly, you know, that. So this is why the comparison is there. But go ahead, keep on.
Exactly. So, all right, so where was I at? Hold on, let me find my place. So, so what I was saying is, I now, in knowing how I am and my makeup, you know I can never have nothing sustainable or long-term with a Muslim female. You know, I think it's like I've been there, done that, so I know the type. So, you know, especially if it's a practicing Muslim female, if she's really on her deen, I don't want to knock her off her course, you know what I'm saying? Because I know there's certain things that I like to indulge in that's just not, you know what I'm saying, not conducive. If she's really, you know, strict, you know, Muslim practicing woman, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've come to that conclusion now. So I think, you need a Muslim person that's practicing, you know what I'm saying? So that's where it aligns because, you know, like I said, I've had a couple of relationships with different Muslim women, you know what I'm saying? And one, it seemed like she converted and just never went back, you know what I'm saying? She's just a devoted Muslim female, and that's just how she's going to be, you know what I'm saying? So I see that, and, you know, like, I respect it, you know what I'm saying? That's what you into, I'm not, but, you know, I respect that. And then another one, I kind of had, like, a little fling with, you know what I'm saying? And you talk about, like you said, your preacher guy that was a freak. So this is one Muslim female. She was like, the one thing, and look, I don't want to, no disrespect to any Muslim that's listening or anybody that's there, but, you know, those females could be like a Christmas gift. You're like unrational. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? So, and that's how this one was. She was with the shit. You know what I'm saying? And it's funny because later on, you know, Instagram, you come back around and you reconnect, and I just see how, you know, I see her life now, you know what I'm saying? I see she's got a Muslim husband, and she's got two little Muslim kids, and they look just like them, and they all, you know, covered up with the hijab and everything. And I would never want to mess that up. You know what I'm saying? I would never want to even, you know, to go back and do anything with this particular person. So, you know, now I got I'm not a practicing, you know, Muslim anymore, but I still have respect for religion because I know how it is. I know it's and getting back to, I wanted to double back on the other point when you talked about, you know, prison and stuff like that, and why Islam is such a big practice religion. It's like the number one religion, especially for black males in prison. And I can understand that because what I'll say, and like I said, I'll never say any ill will about Islam because it's a very peaceful religion. And like I said, I like wish my father could have. I seem like my father needed that. You know what I'm saying? You know, just looking at his life and, you know, rest in peace to him. But it seemed like he needed structure. You know what I'm saying? So I say that to say this, you know, Muslim sex is for guys. You know what I'm saying? And like, and for black males. It'll give you a roadmap. If you don't know how to really live your life and you like, you know, you can't control certain, demons or like you can't control certain addictions and things of that nature. Oh, Islam is for you.
Urges.
So gonna show you.
Yeah.
Urges. Yeah, if you can't control certain urges, demons, or ill will that may come your way, addictions, you know, like just different demons that might just, you know, come in and play with your mind. If you're not a strong-minded person that can really, you know, balance that, you know, the good and the evil of this world and how it comes into your mind, and, you know, you can get, you know, angry and get possessed in certain ways and stuff like that if you don't control it. So, once again, I say that to say this, it'll give you a nice roadmap to, because, you know, it gives you, like, just rules, regulations, laws to live by, morals to have. So, yes, that it's for you. Like, you know, like, if you got your life off track and you need to get it on track, Islam is a peaceful religion that will just guide you in the right direction. So when it comes to, and it's also a brotherhood. It's also a brotherhood. Like, if you get into a fight with one Muslim, they all going to fight you. You know what I'm saying? That's just how it is. That, you know, you see that in war and everything. It's just, that's how they're bred. That's how it's taught. So that's another thing. So that's why if you go to prison, you know, and you got a long bid, you might want to, like, you know, and like I said, you want it to be in your heart. You don't want to be fake. You know what I'm saying? But I noticed that a lot of brothers, they you know, black males, they're going to gravitate towards that because it's protection. Because like I said, it's a brotherhood. So, you know, especially you practicing in this in jail, you don't have all these different temptations that you do out here. So, of course, that brotherhood is going to be very strong. So, and it'll help you get through your bid, especially if you got years. You know, when I get into world famous chop up, I'm going to talk about a particular rap group that I saw on Drink Champs. That really, this guy did 19 years. I mean, he didn't become Muslim because he was able to, you know, figure it out another way and survive. But a lot of times, if you got time and you got to sit down for a period of time, you need that. Like Islam, it'll definitely be helpful for you, you know, as far as that. But I don't, you know, I think you should feel it in your heart if you're gonna really, you know, get into that. That's why I had to let it go because it wasn't in my heart. You know what I'm saying? But so I just wanted to double pack back on that point. But like I said, so the last thing before we get into the world famous chop up, and you know, and unless you want to have some closing arguments or closing just debates or statements, basically, now, you know, I see that, like I said, the reason why I kind of have a duality, I'm spiritual. Spiritual is definitely me. Like I said, shout out to Egyptian yoga, the philosophy of enlightenment, Muwatta Ashby. That book changed my life, man. It really made everything make sense because I was always gravitated towards Kemet, which is Egypt. You know what I'm saying? And it just opened up the whole spirituality because I was always in math class, you know, geometry and everything. I was studying the angles, these perfect angles you always had in Egypt and how everything correlated with space and science and all that. So anyway, then the spirituality part really just made it all make sense to me. So that's my foundation. But, you know, and then like I said, when I really get into it, because I have seasons, and I've come to this conclusion with you, I say this, you know, just this, I say this all the time, how this show is therapy for me because I can really get into my thoughts. We can talk it out and we can just really, you know, rejoice in our conversation. So once again, I say that to say this, in different seasons, I'm a different person. You know what I'm saying? And I've come to understand that. That's my makeup. So in certain seasons, I'm very comedic. You know what I'm saying? I'm a god. You know what I'm saying? I want it all. You know what I'm saying? I want the god of whatever passion I'm into. I'm a god of that. And I'm the law of attraction is bringing it to me. You know what I'm saying? And I can get into that energy. But sometimes, and that's when I'm on my you know, Egyptian yoga. But sometimes I wanna bow down to a higher source. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes some in seasons I'm in that mode. You know what I'm saying? Well, I recognize a higher source. I recognize there's somebody higher than the being or a force or energy that's higher than me. And sometimes I just want to be guided. You know what I'm saying? And that's where my Christianity faith, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, when I'm on my Egyptian yoga, like I want to be that God. I want to be I'm a God. You know what I'm saying? But when I'm on my Christianity, like I'll bow down. I'll submit, you know what I'm saying? And I'll just be guided by that force. And like I said, we know the technology, especially growing up in this country and our ancestors in this country. We know how, like I said, Christianity really has been you know, it allows slavery to be digested, you know what I'm saying, because slavery was so harsh. But at the same time, I still recognize the parables and the religion. Like I said, when it comes to Jesus being the son of God, I look at the Son itself. The Son gives life. It gives light. That's my Jesus. You know what I'm saying? That's the Son of God. That's our Son of God. Jesus is the Son to me. You know what I'm saying? That's where I get my energy from where I really want to
You like
submit.
Crossing spirituality and religion.
I'm just
you know,
my
husband tell me the same thing. Now he said, now you know you have your direction at Ifa. He said, but there's like some type of you know, like interference with that. Like, and he said, you know, my spiritual side. But you understand, like I had to get spiritually in tune before I was able to get, you know, fully in tune to Ifa. You know what I'm saying? I had to know what I know now. I had to heal myself. I had to go through the process of creating, you know what I'm saying, a different version of myself before I could really ingest Ifa as I'm supposed to, right? To know how to take certain things in and not go in blindly. So I tell people that come under me, and depending on where they are in their journey, I want you to heal before I start, you know, introducing you to these folks in Ifa and so on and so forth. And then after the healing process, or, you know, most of it is done, then you could go get a Dafa, right? Because it's a lot of people that are just going and just jumping in traditions and religions because they want to find a way or break away from certain type of energy or certain things that they've been going through, but yet they haven't healed themselves, right, from their past trauma. So what do you get when you get somebody that hasn't healed themselves, somebody that doesn't know how to let go, somebody that doesn't know how to, you know, be one with self, somebody that gets the energy of the to be able to work with the elements to manifest things to go in their favor and so on and so forth. You know what I'm saying? You get people that get a hold to that type of energy and they're not healed, and then hurt people. Feel me? And so yes, you know, we do know that Arumala has the ability to change your, you know, your destiny, right? But when it comes down to the person itself is, you don't know how open they are, because a person can make you think anything. You know what I'm saying? And this is why I feel like more people need to heal their childhood trauma and their past trauma and so on and so forth before you go and picking up any tools so that you can be one with self in doing what you need to do. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, I get it.
Definitely. So, you know, once again, man, awesome topic. You know, I look forward to these spiritual conversations because, you know, we can definitely just hold court and really, really, you know, dive beneath the surface. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
You know, shout out to you, Black. You know what I'm saying? A spiritual goddess. So, once again, that was tonight's topic, which is, does your spiritual religious choice affect your relationship views? I think we both gave an awesome point. So, hopefully, you know, if anybody was listening, you know, they got some free game. You know what I'm saying? So, with that being the case, you know, we got about a half an hour left in the show. So you already know it is time for my favorite part of the show, which is the world famous chop up. So if anybody is out there that's new, you know, this is the part of the show, like last half an hour of the show, where I get a chance to just talk my ish on certain things that I just thought was interesting that I want to bring to the chop up and just talk about it. You know what I'm saying? So with that being the case, you already know, you know, always got to ask Black this question. You know, this past week, was there anything that you was tripping on that you want to bring to the world famous chop up and chop it up and talk about?
Oh, man, yeah. So first and foremost, it has been so much going on that, you know, that really saddens me. And I had gotten to this thing. I try not to ingest the negative things that's online because it changes my mood. Being an empath, yeah. I feel, you know, the energy of whoever it is, right, regardless if I know mm-hmm. them or not. And so it really changes my mood. And so this week has been, like, such a sad week. First of all, you know, a moment of silence for DC Young Fly's, you know, wife. Jackie O. They met a while ago. They had three beautiful kids together. I think DC Young Fly did an interview a while ago, and he said, like, none of the girls really took him serious, you know, because he didn't have much, but she came along and she stayed down with him until he came up. And now, you know, DC Young Fly is a very large, you know, very big name in comedy, you know, starring in movies and roles. And he stayed true to her, you know, had all his children that we know of with her. And she went and had a surgery. She was very beautiful. She felt like she needed surgery, didn't really need it. But, you know, maybe it's a tummy tuck or something like that. She wanted to get the excess fat from the baby. And after the surgery, it's reported that, you know, she had heart complications and she passed away. She was only, like, 32, 33 years old. She was very big in the YouTube community, close to 1 million subscribers on her YouTube channel. So, you know, be mindful. There's adverse effects to anything that you do in life, you know. I'm not going on no rant to say don't do this, don't do that, because any surgery that you get is always, you know, there's always chances of complications. Very sad moment. DC Young Fly has not spoken up. I am sure that he is crushed to pieces. Nobody has heard anything. It took her friends a couple of days to even, you know, post something. Like, you know, they said she was a very, very bright spirited person. She was a Scorpio, so Scorpios are really good friends. You know what I'm saying? So. Yeah. That would, like, rock the community. That was a shocker. I've seen a few of her videos over time. So, you know, salute to good energy that, you know, is now put back into the universe. And so I want to tell my ladies, no matter where you are, when you are on Facebook Marketplace or any of these things and you want to go buy something, have them come to a spot that you're familiar with, or take people, have them meet you somewhere where it's a lot of people. There's a young lady, somebody sent me the story about this tonight, a young lady in Alabama. She's only 32 years old. She went to meet somebody in Birmingham to buy something from the Facebook Marketplace. And it was just weird because they found her car on a dead-end street with woods. I don't know why or what she was thinking to go meet them there. They're saying, the police are saying they can't confirm it's connected to the purchase on the marketplace as of yet, but they're still doing their research. But that's what everybody knows. That was the last thing that she went to go do. They found her shot, and then they set the car on fire. So for whatever that was, you know, whoever did it, I do pray for justice for her. But make sure you guys are going to meet people, you know, go to the police station. You know, police station, they do understand. Don't go down no dark road. Don't go meet nobody in a wooded area. I need you to use your common sense, especially when you don't know people. You know what I'm saying? I really need you to use your common sense in the matter when doing that. So another sad situation. Everybody's still waiting on Jamie Foxx to speak up. There are people that are close to him saying, like, he'll speak up. I think it was Nick Cannon that just spoke out and said, when Jamie's ready to talk, he will talk. So, obviously, there was a report this week where this guy, he was stating that he was on the phone with somebody that was in the room with Jamie Foxx, okay? And so it explains what's taking him so long to speak up. We like, look, they done did away with him or something. But it deeply explained why he hasn't spoken up. And, of course, black people are like, you know, don't believe everything that you hear, yada, 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 yada. You know, and these are people that probably got the vaccination. So he stated that on the movie set that Jamie was just on, they forced him to get the shot. They forced him to get vaccinated. He was against it. There was a fight that broke out on set. You know, he was just really upset that they were forcing him to get the shot. But they did. They forced him to get the shot, and the man is stating that he had a blood clot that went to his brain. This is allegedly. I pray that it does. It's not true, but it would make sense of why he's not talking, because his life has changed. He is now, he said that he is now blind and he is now paralyzed to the shot with the blood clot with his brain. That's a lot to deal with when you as famous as Jamie. You know what I'm saying? When you do as much as Jamie does, and he's very active playing basketball and so on and so forth, and all for a movie, you know, of course, I mean, if that is the case, I would sue the directors. I would sue everybody. Like, he went against his better judgment. It's like they had them on set and then turned around and said, okay, you got to get vaccinated when you are this far in. You know what I'm saying? So it's been a lot of conversation about the vaccinations, and with everything going on, more and more people are wise enough to know, do not get vaccinated. Like, that is bad for you. There are so many reports. You can go look at them with the actual evidence that they wanted to hide from you for 55 years, right? Within the first couple of months, they knew that over 1,200 people had passed due to the shot, but they kept going, and they wanted to hide this information because it was not about the vaccine. It's about what's in the vaccine to control your mind. And this is why more and more people are going with the scenario and hearing, it's okay, and support the trans community and support this and support that. And people are going with it. It's not that. The thing is that it's going to wear off. And this is why they had so many booster shots after that, because they were trying to correct the formula. But the thing is, when this stuff wears off, it's going to be far, far more damaging than it would have been if they would have just left these people alone, right? So that is the report right now. Of course, they haven't said anything. The daughter, when she made that statement, it was like he was just playing pickleball or whatever. I said, that don't even sound right. Like, she's not a good liar, but I knew she was lying when she made that statement. Just because of the energy of Jamie, I know that if he was okay, he would have been spoken up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
it's something. I mean,
prayers for Jamie Foxx. Getting these vaccinations, man. Listen, I'll stay in the house. If you're that scared, stay your ass in the house. If you're that scared, homeschool your kids and stay your ass in the house and work from home. If you're that scared, they can deliver your groceries to your house. They can deliver everything that you want to your house. There's ways to get around it, but I'm anti-vax. I've been anti-vax from day one, still anti-vax. And guess what? It's your time to go is your time to go. It's nothing that you can do to halt that. It's definitely nothing that the government, especially this government in the United States, can give you for free that's going to be good for you, right? Salute to Jamie Foxx, and, you know, we pray that that's not the case.
Prayers
we
up.
Pray that he gets better in reference to that. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, that's really it. Like, you know, be mindful. You know, people are weird out here. Just when I'm like, oh, well, I want to start hanging out, and then I see, you know, crazy stuff. It was somebody famous from Miami. Their son just got killed over the weekend at T5, which is a strip club in Miami. He was walking across the street, and they literally just stopped, pulled out, stripped him of everything. And it was something that he said, like, they was getting in their car to leave. They were trying to put him in the car, but he would not allow them to kidnap him. Then it was something that he said something that made the passenger turn back around and come shoot him and kill him. So I don't know what he said, but it's crazy. Stay aligned. Focus on something other than the streets, because, baby, it's going crazy out there. So that's all I had.
All right. So, thanks for bringing that to the world famous chop up, you know what I'm saying, just giving us some news snippets,
one more thing. We've been talking about the government shutdown that was supposed to be June 5th, right? And then they got extremely quiet, right? You know, it's not about who's wrong or right. They got extremely quiet about the government shutdown. But the information is there because I had to go look it up. I'm like, I haven't heard anything about the government shutdown since then. So what is happening, right? So they have come to some type of agreement where they are monitoring, and Biden has given up some of his abilities and decision making that he's able to do, and he's like cut a deal so that over the next 2 years, basically, while he's still president, they can't get in this situation. So, like, there's no debt ceiling right now. So he can spend, but they put restraints on him in certain areas, but he can still spend how he wants. And he came up with the agreement. So while he's in office, they can't. And if you pay attention, every time a Democrat is in office, the Republican has to come along and fix it. It's always like that. It's always like that. They have to come along and fix a deficit because we are always in the hole when a Democrat is in office because they just spend.
Inflation.
As you guys know, we talk about this. Democrats are not for our people, not for the colored people. The KKK supports the Democrats. Nothing that they've done. Your schools haven't gotten better. Your neighborhoods haven't gotten better. Nothing has gotten better with a Democrat in the office, but they tell you to vote for them. They pretty much know that Biden is doing such a horrible job. They really don't think that he's going to get back in office, but of course they are going to try to get him back in office, but they don't think that he is. So they're just running through whatever they can run through. But, yeah, they worked out a deal. You guys can go online and look it up. So they worked out a deal to avoid a government shutdown for June 5th. And, just pay attention to what's happening here because it's a total shit show.
That's true. Wow. Okay. Well, yeah, no, definitely. You know what I'm saying? So 2024, you know, next year, we will, you know, have hopefully a new president. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully my guy Trump gets a chance to, you know, finish what he started. You know, that's just me. That's my perspective. You know, I know everybody has their own point of views, but that's just where I see it. Okay. So, yeah. So with that being the case, you know, a few topics I want to get into. So, like I said, when we were talking during our topic, I brought up an interview that I saw with a particular rap group on Drink Champs. So I just want to shout out the Lost Boys. You know, they kind of like, you know, have been forgot about, but they had a nice run in the 90s. You know, they're from Jamaica, Queens, New York, Southside Jamaica, Queens. You know, Mr. Cheeks, you know, he's the front runner of the group. But then he's the rapper. And then they had the DJ Spig Nice. He seems like he's the leader of the group too, from, you know, this interview, with Nori and EFN. They had, Chrissy Ka, you know, rest in peace to him. You know, he was the hype man. He was like the Flavor Flav of the group. And then, as far as hype man, you know, not in personality, of course. And then, Pretty Lou, who was like, kind of like one of the brainchilds, you know, came up with a lot of the concepts. So, you know, they were on Drink Champs. And I just thought it was a great interview because, like I said, you know, they had a hit album back in, it's 94, so we're going old school. But the album, you know, went like 2 years strong. It went to at least 96 with the hits because, you know, they had hit after hit after hit from this album. You know, they had this song called Renee. There was a big one, you know, talking about, you know, like a, you know, relationship situation. And she got killed unexpectedly. That was a good one. Lifestyles of the Rich and Shameless, you know, that goes hard in the paint, you know what I'm saying? Just some street tales, but, you know, that was a ill one. Then they had another one called The Lex Coupes, the Beamers, and the Benz. Even Little Kim had kind of like redid that with a song she had called The Jump Off. I remember, you know, she, you know, a few years back. And then music makes me high. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, the reason why I thought the interview was interesting because they have different elements, you know, so they had the run of hits, you know, back when it was popping, you know what I'm saying? And then tragedy struck, you know, Freaky Todd was killed and basically in his neighborhood, you know, at a block party, you know, way back, I believe like 96, 97, something like that. But his son was able to, you know, carry on tradition. You know, his son was like 30 years old, so he was able to be a representative of his father. So that was cool to see the lineage there. And then, you know, and of course, you know, Mr. Cheeks, you know, like he had his run, man. He was like definitely, you know, a good rapper for his time. You know what I'm saying? He had another song, another hit called Light, Camera, Action. Was popping, so it was just good to see that their story being told, you know, for the people who might have forgot. But the really interesting part of the interview was the DJ. Like I said, his name is Spig Nice, and the fact that he did a 19-year bid, you know, and I just thought it was interesting. I loved it. I mean, I don't love to hear stories, but stories are so interesting when I see somebody survive a bid like that and then come out and they still, you know, on point and, you know, they got a good head on their shoulders, a lot more mature, and they you know, they're able to maintain and just, you know, get back into society. So he said that, you know, he did 19 years because he was accused of a bank robbery. So he did Fed time and, you know, they was trying to give him, you know, 37 years. And it was like, you know, trying to put the pressure on him, like, you know, get him to snitch and whatever. But, you know, he didn't. And, you know, he did his time and came out. And I just thought it was an interesting story. He talked about, he gave some different, you know, insight to how the prison system is and how you got to survive in there. And he was talking about how he learned to trade, basically became a plumber. And was able to maneuver, and then, you know, with that, you know, because he did 19 years, he had seniority in the jail, and, you know, he was like a peacemaker between a lot of the different, you know, the black population in the prison, and then you had the, you know, the Mexican population over in the prison, and then you had the Aryan population in the prison, you know, basically like an episode of that old school HBO show Oz. You know, so he had to just, you know, maintain, and it was just interesting. And, Nori did, you know, time when he was younger, he was a teenager, so it was just interesting because, you know, I guess real recognized, real or street, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I think Nori was kind of infatuated with his story because you would have thought Mr. Cheeks definitely got his shine and, you know, talked about his story. But the most interesting part of the interview was definitely Spig Nice's point of view. So I just wanted to shout that out, man. I love just good, I guess you would call it journalism, but, you know, podcasts and what we do, you know, it's a form of journalism. You know, you just, you know, brought some different topics you thought were interesting as far as, you know, current events and stuff like that. So, yeah, you know, I just thought it was, you know, I love good interviews, and this is one of Nori's better interviews. You know, they had the Queens connection and, you know, so I just wanted to shout that out. You know, man, I really enjoyed that interview and made me want to go back and listen to that album, Legal Drug Money. You know, they lost their momentum, you know, once the Freaky Todd got, you know, killed. You know, it kind of, you know, then, like I said, the DJ went to jail for 19 years, so they just, you know, fell off and kind of got forgotten, to be honest with you. And I'm in New York, and I kind of forgot about them. And then, you know, it was just nice. Seemed like a reunion of a group that, you know, takes me back to, like, the time that I was telling you about, you know what I'm saying? When I was, you know, practicing Islam and stuff, and I was, like, kind of like a different person back then, you know what I'm saying? But that was some of the music of that time, you know what I'm saying? So that was, like, some of the soundtracks that I was really, you know, rocking to. So it took me back to that era, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, shout out to that, man. I love this new wave of you know, podcasting. I love what we do here, you know, shout out to us. I'm loving how Cam and Mace, you know, have put their flag down as far as the sports. So with that being the case, you know, let me transition to another story that came out this week. So all my sports heads out there that's like me, that, you know, like to, you know, watch sports, talk about sports, analyze sports. So a big story is Shannon Sharp. you know, Hall of Famer, Hall of Fame tight end. You know, he played for won Super Bowls with the Denver Broncos back in the day with John Elway. Won two Super Bowls, you know, with the Denver Broncos, and then went to Baltimore later on in his career with Ray Lewis, and you know, when they had that, you know, great defense in Baltimore, you know, led by Ray Lewis, and you know, Shannon Sharpe was like the star of the offense, you know, even at a later in his career, and he were able to help them win the Super Bowl. And then, of course, he transitioned, you know, became a sports analyst, you know, day-to-day talk show with Skip Bayless, you know, when Skip Bayless left First Take and ESPN and Stephen A and all that, and, you know, set up shop and did the Undisputed and been on for about a good 5-6 years. I think Undisputed basically kind of started when we started, you know, maybe about a year. I think they started in 2016, so a little bit before us. But they had a run, too, that just came to an end. So, basically, you know, to set the stage for the people who've been listening and following what I'm saying is basically Shannon Sharpe said he's going to be leaving the show as of the end of the finals. So once the finals over, you know, that'll be like his last show. And apparently his contract was bought out. And, you know, he has a podcast. I haven't listened to none of it, but, you know, I've heard about it. It's called Club Shay Shay. And, you know, he's kind of set himself up. You know, he's a known figure in the sports community now. You know, a lot of entertainers, rappers, sports people. You know, he's developed some good connections. So this is going to be interesting to see, you know, because that's like an end of an era. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's you know, they've been rocking for a long time. But, you know, times are changing in the sports world. You know, Tom Brady, who's been, you know, the greatest quarterback of all time, you know what I'm saying? Let's just call it what it is. You know, his career came to an end this year. You know, he finally caught it today and, you know, and retiring. So, you know, that's a big sports figure, a big talking point in these sports shows that's not going to be talked about anymore. You can't because he's not playing. And then we know LeBron is in the twilight of his career, so he's got, about 2 years left, you know, if that. So, you know, that's another big-time talking point that's going to be gone. And, you know, so you just see, you know, it's a new era in sports. And then, you know, with shows like Cam and Mace, It Is What It Is, you know. I love that, man, because it's like our culture, you know what I'm saying? I'm a rap dude, so I can always relate to rappers and stuff like that because, you know, that's all I know as far as, you know, I'm raised in rap music, you know what I'm saying? So I speak the language. So when I see them, you know, especially people that I respect like Cam and then, you know, I was able to really reconnect and become a fan of Mace again, you know what I'm saying? Because when they was beefing, I was really like kind of team Cam, but it's cool to come around and rediscover Mace's music and his personality and what he brings to the game. So I say that to say this, it's a new era, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, like I said, shout out to what we do here. Shout out to World Famous Chop Up, my co-host Kev Hurt. And then when I do the World Famous Chop Up, of course, here on Real Adult Talk with SGMO Benz, you know, I just love shouting out, you know, the culture of podcasting. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, like I said, Skip's getting older. And like I said, I just mentioned, like, his talking points, you know, LeBron, Tom Brady, and then the Cowboys. So, of course, the Cowboys aren't going nowhere. But are they – I'm not the biggest Cowboys fan. In fact, I'm not a Cowboys fan at all. I mean, if they have a good team, I'll watch. But I'm not, you know, I'm not rooting for them like that. I can care less if they win or lose. But a lot of people, you know, yearn for that Cowboys era that was from the 90s with Michael Irvin and Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith. And that was the mid-90s. That's been a long time since they've been Super Bowl winners. So, you know, I'm just wondering how Skip is going to – what's going to be if he's going to change his way of kind of doing the show and you know, what's going to be his new go-to. So – pardon me. It'll be interesting to see who they bring in to debate Skip because that's his life. If you know anything about, you know, Skip Bayless and that whole sports realm, you know, shout out to him, you know, because he really made the genre of sports debate very popular. You know, he was the, you know, probably the main one that really took it to this level, you know, so he'll always get respect for that. But, you know, he is getting older. It's going to be interesting to see who they bring in. If it's going to be another black dude, you know, or is it going to be, you know, there's going to be a journalist is going to be a former player. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how they shuffle the deck. So, you know, something that I will keep the people posted on, you know what I'm saying, as far as that. So one last topic I'll get into, maybe two, you know what I'm saying. I only got about a minute left. Wow, this show went by pretty quick tonight, but definitely going to take it to 10 minutes. So I got about 6 minutes left, you know what I'm saying. So if I get cut off, pardon me, but another interview, speaking of, you know, different podcasts that are sprouting up, YouTube, I'm finally becoming like, you know, I don't want to sound like OG, triple OG, but I'm finally getting with the YouTube wave a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I'm still not, you know, full-fledged or like, you know, a lot of this generation where everything is watched on YouTube. You know, I still like to, you know, go to my Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime and mix it up. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it is some show. I respect the rawness of the YouTube that you're able to be on YouTube. So I just mentioned Cam and Mace. You know, I'm a big fan of this show. But also, shout out to former adult starlet Naomi Banks. She's got a YouTube podcast that she does called Ask Naomi. And, it's more of a YouTube show because people say podcast. And when I think of podcast, I think of shows that I don't mind just listening to. I don't really need to see it. You know what I'm saying? Like if you're listening to us, you don't need to see me in black talk. You can just hear us and use that that sense. You know what I'm saying? We don't have to indulge your sight and all that. You just, you know, just hear us and feel us that way, you know. And that's why I love music so much. That's why I love to read, because my imagination, you know, I don't need to see the vision, or I don't need to see the visual, you know what I'm saying, a lot of times. But for certain things, I do. Like Cam and Mace, I think that's a show that I visually want to see. I want to see their reactions. So, you know, I wouldn't call that a podcast because I would just call that a sports show. And then the same thing when it comes to Naomi Banks. Now, I don't listen to her podcast regularly because she does come on every week, but I've noticed she's been getting like a lot of the, you know, starlets that I follow, you know, or that I think are doing their thing, put it like that. Because like I said, I got my top 10 list coming sometime in the summer. Don't ask me when, but I'm working on it. But basically, long story short, ask Naomi, you know, she really, you know, set off her show when she had Jada Fire come on. And, you know, Jada Fire, of course, is a Hall of Fame, AVN award-winning starlet, you know, still prevalent on IG, Instagram, and all that. Then shout out to Imani Rose, you know what I'm saying? So shout out to her. You know, she's always got great energy. So she came on the show. And then lastly, Stacey Lane. Now, Stacey Lane, I just want to shout her out because I slept on her. Like, you know, when she was really popping and doing her thing, I wasn't the biggest fan. I'm going to be honest. But, you know, Naomi Banks, you know, showed her picture and promoted the show on IG, she just had a certain glow to her that just gravitated. And I'm just like, wow, like, that's how she is. That's how she looks now. She looks like, you know, her transitions from the adult industry has been smooth, and she just looks vibrant, and I'm like, wow, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, long story short, she came and told her story, and it's because she has a book coming out, you know, in August, and I shitted on the Urban X Awards. You know, Alexander DeVoe, I believe he owned that, and because, you know, Jada Fire, they shitted on it, she shitted on it, and then on Ask Naomi, I'm not the biggest fan, but Marie Love, she was on there. She shitted on it, too. It was like boat leg, bullshit. But I will give them credit for recognizing Stacey Lane. Basically, she's going to be, you know, in their Hall of Fame. You know, so she's going to be inducted in August. I guess they have the Urban X Awards in L.A. in August, and she'll be inducted. And she's definitely worthy of it. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to her, man. I just, you know, the adult industry is a sport, man. So I like to see, you know, people get their flowers when it's well deserved, and I think they got that right. So the shit I talked about them, you know, a few weeks back, they seem like they made it up with this, and she's a good Stacey Lane. I think she has the essence or whatever of being a face of like the Urban X Awards, because she is. You know, AVN, you got to be kind of commercialized in that world or whatever, you know, because AVN is, of course, whitewashed. Urban X Awards is supposed to be urban, you know, black and stuff like that. So I think Stacey Lane and Gold Stack, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I would have thought like Roxy Reynolds, you know what I'm saying? She seems like a more of a Urban X Awards, and you know, she'll probably be in the Urban X Awards Hall of Fame too. But now that I look back, I think Stacey Lane, you know what I'm saying, if you compare the two careers as far as the adult industry, I think Stacey Lane, my God, even over Roxy Reynolds, you know, now looking back, I was like, wow, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, just a great interview. Shout out to, you know, Naomi Banks doing her thing, you know what I'm saying? So once again, this has been, you know, Real Adult Talk with SG and Mo Benz. So we do this each and every Sunday, fun day, you know what I'm saying, chopping it up for the people, you know what I'm saying. I love our show, our format. Like I said, it's our therapy. So once again, shout out to Black with our spiritual topics, you know what I'm saying. We always get deep, you know, in the first, you know, week of the month. So, you know, awesome topic. Shout out to me for the world famous Chopper. And, you know, if you want to put a face with the voice, follow me on IG. Mo Benz is the name, MOBINNS, just at that, and, you know, hit follow. But keep it respectful, as always. And then, follow the Real Adult Talk. Once again, we put that country twang on it, so talk is spelled T-A-W-K. And, you know, always keep it thorough on that, man. So that's always a good follow as well. So, you know, once again, peace and love to everybody out there listening around the world. We highly appreciate it. And until next time, everybody be safe. Peace, peace, peace. Signing off.